Welcome, everybody, to the Rational Revolution. Holy cow. You've got Mark Becker, and you are at the right place because, hey, my God, friends, we got a guest for you. This guy's everywhere. My goodness. I see he's on the news. He's got, like, viral videos going. Proud son of Milwaukee, former state representative, former history-making lieutenant governor. My friend and yours. We're getting right to it with Mandela Barnes. Finally. Hey.
Finally. My man, good to see you. Good to see you.
Yeah, for those who don't, I've been hounding this dude for like months because I wanted to get him here to comment on what's going on because I really, you know, the show is all across the state and I think that people want to hear your voice, you know, as much as they can because what you have to say matters. But first off, dude, how are you?
I appreciate that, man. Really do. Glad you got the show going and glad it's successful. And I'm glad yeah. you're part of it today, man. My response is good enough.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah.
good enough.
Yeah.
Right. Like all things considered, right? Personal life is fine. You know, it's just hard with everything else going on around, like all the uncertainty. I'm still very, very deep in the work, but also, you know, very deeply, you know, connected to people who are being, you know, impacted by what's going on, whether it's friends that have lost jobs that were working for the federal government, people who are, you know, in the organizing community who are just, you know, scared to death about what's next for them. Or, you know, did they say a thing at some point that's going to bring, you know, the full breath of the administration upon them? So, you know, so personally good enough, but it is yeah. very hectic here, man.
I think what's cool is like you could have wrote a book and then just like went away, you know, and you didn't because you care and you care a lot. And so you're doing a lot. And I appreciate that a lot because of, you know, like I said, what you do has a big impact and you don't have to do any of this, but you are.
For sure, man. I appreciate you, man. It's you know, it's what I've been involved in for, you know, quite some time, but also just the impact of it, right? Like if I walked away, then that's, you know, one less person who is going to be deeply involved at a time where we need people to be yeah. deeply involved, right? Like after my race in 22, my speech the day after the election, I said, you know, these issues are still going to be present. Yeah. Like these things are still going to matter. And would have been real disingenuous if I just decided that, you know, see you. Good luck.
Peace.
Yeah. Peace.
So I got to say, so we saw this week, Tesla profits are down 71% over last year. Elon Musk is getting repeatedly kicked in the balls as his very nervous investors have requested him to come back to the company. He's agreed to dramatically scale back from Doge, essentially leaving politics. Take a bow, Wisconsin, right? What happened in April?
Yeah, well, what happened in April is he got embarrassed. You know, he made a gamble in 24, the presidential election. He won that one, and he thought that he could do it again. But people saw through it because they saw what happened as a result of Elon Musk making a financial investment in a U.S. election, and people were upset by that. People were incensed by that. Elon Musk became as much of the name on the ballot as Brad Schimmel went on CNN. I said, hey, look, you know, I was in the legislature mm-hmm. when Brad Schimmel was attorney general. I disagree with him. I did not dislike him. Brad Schimmel was otherwise a very credible candidate. And honestly, I was nervous. Cannot tell you yeah. how nervous I was for the last, you know, for the last year. Like, all right, I want people to take Brad Schimmel seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elon Musk just became a weight around his neck, you know, fortunately for me, fortunately for us, fortunately for the state, but it could have gone a different way. And with that, I think that, you know, you look at some of the polling data that shows Donald Trump's historic disapproval rating, like unfortunately still too many people approve of him. But the person who's less popular than Donald Trump is Elon Musk. And Elon Musk, given what his impact on the negative impact on the Supreme Court race, you know, he's also making the president less popular. And that's one reason I'm not celebrating his departure just yet.
Well, and I want to talk about that. Like you knew, I knew Brad Schimmel too. And mm-hmm. what's insane and it Brad Schimmel's one of these people, but there's so many of these folks that, like, I didn't dislike the guy. He's not a bad dude. But then all of a sudden this extreme mega stuff happens and it's like, what the hell happened to the guy that I thought, hey, I wouldn't have an issue sitting down with this dude. He's a good guy, you know? And then all of a sudden, Brad Schimmel, who the hell are you now? Oh my God.
Well, same thing with Tommy Thompson.
Yes. Dude, I sent him a text. I'm like, Tommy, what are you doing? I had him on the show. And I was like, Tommy, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. I sat next to Tommy Thompson at the, at Tony's, sworn in after his reelection at the inauguration. And people were like, they sat you next to Tommy Thompson. I was like, honestly, had a great time.
Yeah.
I love next to Tommy Thompson. But he is also, like, you know, just becoming a person, you know, who, and we saw some of it, right? We saw some of it in 2012 in the U.S. Senate race and that primary, you know, how he ran that campaign. But it felt like he had come back to being his normal self. But this presidential election in 24, it's like, whoa, all right, well, this is not the Tommy Thompson that was governor of the state of Wisconsin for 15 years.
No. Right. And we're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And like, what's frustrating is that so many of these people will go down that rabbit hole and like, who are you?
Who are you?
Right.
Yeah, people, you know, not to bring Eminem into this, but you're going to lose yourself.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So, and you travel all over the country. Was this, because we in Wisconsin, we can kind of be, you know, insulated or in our little bubble. How big of a deal was this race?
Oh man, I was in DC the week after for a conference, and that's all people were talking about.
Really?
It felt like a lot of the stress and depression, quite frankly, from the November election had, you know, was fleeting, right? Like, it felt like people had hope again. It felt like people felt like things, you know, could change, and that the, you know, Trump administration or any, you know, auxiliary or proxy of it was not as or is not as you know, all powerful as people may have felt.
Power to the polls. Talk about that. What they were influential.
Oh, for sure. Power to polls has been really active in the most recent election cycles. It's an organization that started before I got there. It was about, you know, 9 months old by the time I showed up. Yeah, serving as president of the organization, helping to steer us in a direction to, you know, build a machine that combats disinformation, a machine that increases voter turnout. But I want to be more specific when I say that, right? Like, you look at different models of turnout, and an informed electorate is a participatory electorate. And so we'll use Nevada as an example, because everybody talks about the Reed machine, the Harry Reid machine. Folks, and quite frankly, I want power to polls to be, have the same level of impact here in Wisconsin. But instead of saying we want to have the highest voter turnout, what I want is for the people that we talk to be the most informed voters in the entire state, the most informed voters in the entire country. And that requires year-round sustained engagement. It means not just showing up, you know, 30, 90 days before an election. It means talking to people before a ballot is even printed. That means talking to people when there is nothing to vote for. That means talking to people when political activity seems to be at its lowest point. Honestly, that's the best time because they are inundated with information. In fact, when we communicate with people while governing is or isn't happening, we are able to get people more involved in the process because they know or are able to see what their vote has resulted in. It means that, you know, the person they voted for, they can see in real time and will know whether they're doing the right thing or not, or the person they did not vote for, providing the mechanisms to hold them accountable and to be able to contact them and petition them to, you know, to air their grievances where it fits.
Hell yeah. That's so cool, because I think also when an informed electorate and doing the things that you're doing, not only can it do that, but like, we have these conversations in the lines of the grocery store or at home or at work, and an informed electorate can inform others when they say, oh yeah, well, you know, all these ballots were, no, let's talk about that. you know, we can change others and move that conversation forward. That's important.
For sure. No, it's incredibly important. And, you know, I do have a larger vision for the organization. Like, I want us to be able to do more briefings to people. Like, we want, like, obviously we're going to still be on doors. We're still going to be, you know, on social media, but I want us to be at a place where, you know, we're just talking for a quick 15, 20, 30 minutes max about the most important topics of the day, the most controversial topics of the day, or the most confusing topics of the day.
No, that's so cool. And I think that it was interesting talking with people in this last election that were going door to door for Kamala Harris. And they were saying, oh, there's no, the Trump people are not going door to door. They're not doing this. They're not. And they thought it was so good, but it's because they were doing so many things digitally and informing people digitally and having those town halls like you want to do. Oh my God, we should do that. Dude, we have, yes, please do that. Because I think that the more informed we are, the better we'll do. Pete Buttigieg said on a podcast that if you look at the issues, you look at where the Democrats are and you look at where the American public is, they're not far apart.
Yeah, you mean the newly bearded.
I know. Yes. Yeah, he looks good. A little salt and pepper going on there. It looks nice.
He's in Michigan now, and you know he's got himself a beard.
That's right. Yes, and I like what he says. And we got about, you know, a minute left, but I like what he says about we can't be afraid to go into places that are uncomfortable and have these conversations. And I've said
it's necessary for us to do so.
Yes,
it's necessary. Right. We have to. We'll see success if we're only talking to ourselves.
Right. You can't expand that tent. You can't, you know, get that coalition to grow if all we're doing is sitting in an echo chamber. We got Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here on the Rational Revolution. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what happens to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and some of your thoughts coming right up on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Network.